It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-3 to the Dallas Stars in overtime, 31-15 and 5, 67 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 7 o'clock at home against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, you look at this game, and it really does feel, at least to me anyway, that the momentum swing was on the shorthanded goal for Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, because at that point, Vegas had just taken a two-goal lead. Mm-hmm. And with as good as their power play has been, not only overall or of late, but specifically of late and overall against the Dallas Stars. Yeah. You know, with that goal, they had 5 out of 10 on the power play against Dallas this year. 2 back in December, 2 on Friday, and then 1 today. And then, you know, as good as Shea Theodore has been, just made an unforced error. He's trying to make a pass over to the left wing just as the second group was coming on. And Roope Hintz picked it off and went the other way and got a shot off. Hill made a save, but the juicy rebound was there for Wyatt Johnston. And, yeah, no, I'm with you. That was the turning point, because it felt like the Knights could have put this game away. They score another power play goal there and go up 4-1. Not that the Stars can't come back from that, but it just puts mentally that thought in your head, boy, it's going to be a difficult one to fight back against this team, the Golden Knights. But obviously that closed the gap to one goal, and it also took the momentum away from the Golden Knights, vigorously so.
Now, when you look at kind of this game in the context of the full 60 minutes, obviously the momentum swing happens, but Was there an adjustment by Dallas to kind of keep the Golden Knights off balance? Because it didn't really feel like after that happened, Vegas was able to generate some of the quality chances they had in the first period and a half.
Yeah, I mean, the most obvious adjustment was seeing Roope Hintz move up to play with Wyatt Johnston and Jason Robertson. And as we talked about Hintz, as we saw the other day, and also starting this one, Hintz centering the third line with Sam Steele and Logan Stankoven. And while Hintz does have 20 goals on the year, he's not been as productive, perhaps, as you might have thought. He had 75 points last year. He's only at 29 this year, though today he had 3 helpers. It just seemed to me that was a spark. You know, he assisted on the shorthanded goal, but then assisted on both goals for Wyatt Johnston. And Pete DeBoer, you know, leaning on those top-end players. The other aspect of it is, you know, Miro Heiskanen missed a good chunk of the third period, missed the last 12 minutes of the game, plus overtime, and that means you ask more of your depth defenseman. And hey, the adjustment, it, you know, I guess you'd have to ask Pete DeBoer specifically beyond that, but it just didn't seem like the Golden Knights could get as many really good opportunities as they had earlier in the game. And Ryan, it sounds like Bruce Cassidy is stepping to the podium as we speak.
All right, let's go downstairs and hear from head coach Bruce Cassidy.
And then you give up the shorthanded goal. Nick Watt takes a penalty. Just, it seemed like the game kind of changed at that moment. What did Dallas do differently after that, that they were able to take control of the game?
I don't think they took control of the game at all. I didn't see it that way. They did score the shorty, so that certainly gave them life. After that, we 4 minutes of penalty kill right after that. I'm not sure they got a look at the net. Maybe one, maybe. Third period, they had one on net chance. It went in. So it's one of those games they were opportunistic. Would have been good if we could have extended the lead at 3-2 after the penalty kill in the third. But they're a good defensive team too, right? So they're going to limit what you have. And then overtime, obviously, they made a great play. They got a great save and a breakaway first, and then they made a great play where we got caught duplicating on going on one guy, and that's it. But I just look at it as they were opportunistic in the third. We didn't try to go in a shell. We weren't risky. They scored on their chance. That's hockey some nights, and that's where you need to save or defend the rush better, one or the other. And then, like I said, in overtime, it's usually someone starts the ball rolling on the overtime with an offensive rush where it's a save and a transition or a goal right away, I guess it could be, but that's usually how it starts. You know, it usually takes a while in overtime, but it happened early. We got a real good look. Unfortunately, didn't go in, and they've capitalized on theirs. So I didn't see it that way, Chris, as taking control. I saw kind of a pretty ho-hum game after that, to be quite honest. Not a lot of offense. a lot of flipping it out from them, trying to get going. And we sort of didn't want to lose people and, you know, try to counterattack. And they did a good job after the first period of defending us. Early on, we were good through there, right? I mean, Barbie has a goal. We're not talking about a loss if he's an inch slower in that transition. Pav right after that. So we got in on Thresh, and then they kind of closed that off on us.
Late in the game, final 2-3 minutes, you had Brett Howden, Jonas Rombierg, and Raphael Lavoie out there. I know you didn't even get to see Raphael Lavoie in training camp. So just what did you see from him maybe from that first shift until having the confidence to have him out there with the game on the line in the final few minutes?
Well, it's tough for him. They got scored on the first shift, right? A bang-bang play in the right spot, a little late reacting to it. It happens. But after that, I thought that line had good energy. Had some of our offense, it just got their shots blocked, it looked like, or couldn't quite get them through. So I thought they were doing a good job forechecking, getting pucks back. Didn't seem like they were in a lot of trouble. Now, he's got Howie and Ronnie with him, or two accountable players out there that know how to play 200-foot games. So that's why I wasn't worried. There are, you know, and our D is, you know, they're a veteran group. So I thought he got going as the game went on, had a couple of good hits. Forecheck turnovers where he didn't end up in the box. Some of the younger guys have this year in those situations, so he's in charge of his stick. As I said, I thought he made a couple of good plays that line, and they had a few good looks, but they didn't quite. Maybe they got to the net, but from the bench, it looked like they maybe got half blocked and whatnot. So I felt they were doing fine.
Go Paul, then Jack.
Hey, Bruce. Paul De Los Santos, NHL.com. Tomas Hertl scored a point in 10 games in a row. So what have you seen from his game that has kind of allowed him to elevate, so to speak, and during the stretch?
Well, he's playing with more confidence. He's back in the middle of the ice, and I had discussed that with him, that it was a learning curve for our centerman. And so he was playing with Nick, I think, and Coley for a while when we had all our – when Carly came back. And I don't know if maybe Schwinn was – I forget how it played out. But anyway, we moved him to the wing, and then, you know, we lost some guys in the middle. He went back in there. He's done a good job. He's closed really well. Some of the things we talked about, you know, would be his responsibility. He's really taken to heart and done a great job with it. I think he's getting screwed on his plus-minus every night, unfortunately. Some tough goals he's on the ice for. But he's really, I think, doing his job, being accountable to his position. So I think that's helped him. And then, you know, maybe the chemistry's starting to grow with the line. The power play has always helped him, right? He's getting his touches there. So I think that's it, just a product of getting more comfortable in playing with us and playing his game, and knowing that. One thing me and Thomas talked a bit about is we have a lot of good players in that room. All you got to do is take care of your business, be good at what you do, and you know, you're not going to be great every night. Some nights maybe you're the guy that puts us over the top, but if in our locker room everyone does their job the way they can, we usually ends up pretty well for us. So don't put too much pressure on yourself if you're having a bad stretch or a game or two. Just play, get ready to play. There's 82 of these things, and I think he's relaxed a bit and played, and then things start going well for you. You naturally become more confident, a little more vocal in the room, et cetera. So good for him. That's the player we knew we were getting, and he's doing a good job.
Jack and Ken.
Jack Williams, Las Vegas Sun. After Stone had fallen into Heiskanen, I guess, was there an expectation that Dallas was going to have a little bit more of a, you know, emotionally motivated push? The physicality may have jumped a little bit more, I guess. Was there a expectation after that pause that, you know, maybe that was coming your way?
Well, listen, he's their best defenseman. He goes down and never looks good. He's a great player. Ton of respect for the way he plays. But the way we saw it is Stoney got tripped and kind of lost his balance. So there's a little bit of that goes into it. Like, we're not, you know, out there trying to take out, you know, good players in the league. We're going to play a hard game. And so, yes, I expected something. And there are certainly guys that went right up to him. I think it was Hinson. I think it was his stick that got in there. So, but after that, maybe they realized, like, this was an inadvertent sort of hit on him. And he was trying to strip him of the puck with his stick, which he does so well. As I said, he got tangled up in the stick, and it's hopefully Miro's all right. I haven't heard anything, but at the end of the day, everyone got back to playing hockey. I think that's kind of a mutual respect for one another, to be honest with you.
Ken Bulkey-Sidman.Vegas, in the third period when they're flipping the puck out and trying to kind of just get behind you, is there something you could do to maybe tilt the ice more in your favor to make sure you can hold that lead?
Well, they don't just do it in the third. They do it in the first and the second. So that's that. They did that last year in the playoffs. It was successful for them. So at the end of the day, the tough part is the forward pulls out, and then he's fielding the with his back turned to the D, the puck, right, almost like catching it. You got to be real careful. If you go bury that guy, you're going to get called from a hit from behind a lot of times, right? A cross check or something. So you got to be careful how you play that. If the puck lands, you got to watch the bounce because they're coming at you. And if you don't play it right, you know, they're gone, right? So there's a little bit of caution necessary. I think where we needed to be better at that, to be honest, was once they did corral it, there's usually only one or two guys against. If you can end those plays in a hurry before they get over the blue line, then the trail guys can't get involved in the offense, and that's how they build their offense, right? They drive it deep on you. Now the D that flipped it out can get up the ice, the centerman supporting underneath, and now they have a chance to play. So that's where, you know, we're trying to close in a hurry. If you handle the puck, we try to always kick it wide because they're usually coming through the middle of the ice. Sometimes you're successful at that, sometimes you're not. I thought we did have a rush game going in the first. In the third, we wanted to make sure now it's, you know, it's time and score then, right? Now you can't get burnt, so a little more, you know, make sure that you keep everyone in front of you type of mentality. And we did a good job with that. The goal they scored was more of a scrum puck out of the wall where Johnson makes a good move. He beats our guy one-on-one, but our gap's a little loose, and he was able to finish.
Last one, Gary.
Points in three or four, and the only regulation loss in that span was in game two of a back-to-back. How close is your game to being back to where you want it?
We're getting there. We're getting there. There was less game tonight where I thought we were poor or that it got away from us, right? So we're straightening that part out. The shorthanded goal could have been the beginning of it. Power play wasn't great after that. Then we get a penalty to take us out of that power play and then the kill. And the kill was real important because that's where it could have got away from us, and it didn't. So I like that part, that we responded to something that didn't go well to us better, dug in, got the kill, stayed in the moment. Obviously, you want to get to the finish line. I didn't think our third period was poor, Gary, in terms of letting them come after us over and over. As I said, they made a play and scored on it. Otherwise, a couple of looks in the power play that were tipped wide where I thought our coverage wasn't bad. They had the bumper tip from Ben that was off net, and that's it. So, better. We're getting there. Where we failed tonight is when you're up 3-1, you know, the killer instinct a little bit. But that's a good team over there, too. I mean, we almost came back in their building. They'd probably say the same thing the other night. They got the big save with 5 seconds left. So they would have been saying the same thing. So you got to remember, it's two good teams going at each other. So, yes, I Dallas on the road, Florida, Dallas. To me, these are two of the better teams in the National Hockey League, and we're right there. And that's a positive, and that's encouraging. So now we got to sort of take that forward going into the break here.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 4-3 loss to the Dallas Stars in overtime. We'll take a break, come back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-3 to the Dallas Stars in overtime. 31-15-5, 67 points on the year for the Vegas Golden Knights. Next in action Thursday, 7 o'clock at home against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. As we've kind of talked about here of late, William Karlsson out week to week with a lower body injury. Cole Schwindt also out week to week as well. Alex Pietrangelo, it was announced the other day, is pulling out, withdrawing from the Four Nations faceoff, dealing with an ailment that is not a play issue. Pietrangelo's kind of working through it. He's been dealing with it. But, you know, obviously looking forward to some of that recovery time over the course of the Four Nations faceoff. But when it comes to Pietrangelo certainly playing through something at the moment, but didn't seem like in this game any players worse for wear afterward. Obviously, the play, Mark Stone gets Roope Hintz. Go watch the replay. I mean, that's going to be the clearest way of understanding how this play happened. But Stone goes to strip Miro Heiskanen of the puck. Roope Hintz gets his stick into Mark Stone's skates. Stone goes down into Heiskanen's knee. It's an unfortunate result on a play that, frankly, Mark Stone has made multiple times this season. Go back to the play that he makes on Macklin Celebrini to strip a puck and finish a game off with an empty net goal. That's exactly what it was. But when you get tripped up, it's kind of hard to kind of adjust in those moments, and it's just an unfortunate result on a play that Mark Stone makes pretty routinely night in and night out in the National Hockey League. Take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period, and really it was the Golden Knights taking it to the Dallas Stars, and they thought they had scored a minute into the game on a rocket from Ivan Barbashev, but the play was offside.
In comes Barbashev! He scores! Top right corner! First shot of the game, and the Knights are on the board! Vegas takes a 1-0 lead.
They're reviewing the play. The call of the ice is overturned. We have no goal. There was an offside at 19:07.
Good challenge there by the Dallas Stars as they take that Ivan Barbashev goal off the board, but the Golden Knights did open the scoring just a minute later as Ivan Barbashev set up Jack Eichel.
Stone played it behind for Barbashev. Set it in front, they score! Barbashev to Eichel, and the Knights do strike first. Jack Eichel extends his scoring streak to 7 games. Vegas has a 1-0 lead, 2 minutes in.
16th goal of the year for Jack Eichel from Ivan Barbashev and Mark Stone. 1:54 that first period made it 1-0 Vegas. But the Stars answered right back when Matt Duchene set up Maverick Bork between the circles.
Duchene centered a shot. Score! Maverick Bork. Duchene to Bork, and it is a 1-1 tie 4 minutes in.
Maverick Bork from Matt Duchene and Miro Heiskanen, 3:41 of the first period, tied the game at 1, but the Golden Knights regained the lead 3 minutes later as Nick Hague danced around the offensive zone, setting up Tomáš Hertl's rebound goal.
Hague works to the right wing, down the boards he goes. Hague pressured as he works out in front with the puck, save, rebound, score! Hague and Hertl working down low, and the Knights are back on top, 2-1.
Tomáš Hertl, his 19th of the year, from Nick Hague and Pavel Dorofeev, 6:35 of that first period, made it 2-1 Vegas. The Golden Knights would carry that one-goal lead into the second period and took advantage of a two-man advantage early in the second and extended their lead on Pavel Dorofeev's power play goal.
Top of the left circle down to the goal line. Stone backdoor. Dorofeev, score! Number 16 needed 16 seconds. A power play goal for the Knights. 3-1 Vegas, 4 minutes into the second.
22 on the year for Pavel Dorofeev from Mark Stone and Jack Eichel on the power play. 3:57 of the second period made it 3-1 Vegas. But the Stars once again pulled to within a goal as Wyatt Johnston scored a shorty.
Stars going the other way, 2-on-1. Shorthanded across the line, a shot, kick save, rebound, they score. Wyatt Johnston, a shorthanded goal, and just like that, it's 3-2 Vegas.
Wyatt Johnston, his 12th of the year from Roope Hintz, a shorthanded goal, 5:04 the second period, made it 3-2 Vegas, but the Golden Knights were able to keep that lead thanks to a trio of saves from Aiden Hill.
Stars come in, extra passing, feed right, Hill a sliding save on Oscar Beck. Lefty from the right circle, a point shot, save Hill, rebound, another save Hill, sliding to the left goal line. Pietrangelo with Fedor get the puck for the Knights. Jack Eichel helping out down low too.
Best sequence of the game there for Aiden Hill to keep it a one-goal lead for the Golden Knights going to the third period, but the Stars tied the game just past the midway point of the period as Wyatt Johnston finished off a give-and-go with Roope Hintz.
Wyatt Johnston working around Stone, gains the line, back and forth, shot, they score! Wyatt Johnston, and the Stars have tied it 3-3 with 8:06 to go in the third.
Wyatt Johnston from Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson, 11:54 of that third period, tied the game at 3. So we'd head to overtime, and the Golden Knights had a great chance to win the game on Shea Theodore's rush, but the Stars came back down 2-on-1, and Wyatt Johnston completes the natural hat trick to win the game.
Stars recover the puck. Now it's a 2-on-1 for Dallas. On the left, Johnston feeding right, back in front. Score! Easy tuck home for a hat trick. Wyatt Johnston, 20 seconds into overtime. Stars win the game 4-3.
14th goal of the year for Wyatt Johnston from Roope Hintz and Esa Lindell. 20 seconds into overtime, completes the natural hat trick. Third of the game for Johnston. 4-3 Dallas. And that was it. The Golden Knights had a 3-1 lead early on in the second period, and the Dallas Stars, by virtue of Wyatt Johnston's three-goal outburst, come all the way back from two goals down to get the win in overtime. We're back with more in a moment, presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
See the future of the VGK as the Henderson Silver Knights forge the night at Lee's Family Forum on February 8th. The first 3,000 fans in attendance will receive a free Bill Foley bobblehead. Visit hendersonsilverknights.com for tickets today. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-3 to the Dallas Stars in overtime. 31-15-5, that's the overall record for the Vegas Golden Knights, 67 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 7 o'clock against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Final home game for the Golden Knights before the Four Nations face-off. Obviously, they've got four games next week, all on the road. You've got the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, and then you finish things up in Boston. Text line is always the place for you. 702-876-1340, that's the number to the text line. We're going to take phone calls in just a couple of minutes, and I can't wait for it. So text line is really centered on a couple of different things. First and foremost, it's centered on goaltending, and again, I'm not terribly surprised. But I am seeing kind of a recurring theme in the text line about Aiden Hill and the game-winning goal from Wyatt Johnston on a 2-on-1. Aiden sells out because that first pass gets through. As a goaltender, your job's the shot. The defenseman, the player back, you're trusting them to either not allow the pass, but if that first pass gets through, you have to play that pass. Your save selection has to be dialed into the point that you're expecting that pass to lead to a shot. So you play the shot. Because if you don't play the shot, then it's a wide open net for the shooter. Then everyone's looking at it, why didn't he react? Why is he standing there? Right in the middle of the crease. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. So when you look at it from that perspective, a 2-on-1 scenario, Jack Eichel is the only guy back. It's a tough spot for Jack to be in for sure. He has made some great defensive plays in that exact situation. Doesn't happen this way because, you know, the Dallas Stars, last time I checked, are a really good team. They complete two east-west passes on a 2-on-1. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a tap-in goal for most teams against most goalies in the National Hockey League. Because, as a goaltender, that pass gets through. You're expecting a shot. You have to play it like a shot. That's why Aiden Hill was anticipating a shot there, not a pass back the other way. And again, Roope Hintz, and it has an excellent shot. You have to respect it. The other direction was that it was the Golden Knights kind of taking their foot off the gas here in this game. And, you know, I hesitate to go in that direction because the Dallas Stars are a good team that are more than capable of changing momentum and pushing things through. And I thought Dallas picked up their energy. Certainly they got some juice from that shorthanded goal, and they picked it up again after Miro Heiskanen got hurt. So, you know, there you go. And Eric, the only reason I'm talking about the overtime goal is because about 90% of the text line is centered and focused on the overtime goal. Eric says Hill needed to make the save before it got there. Okay, sure, fine. I hear you, but again, I'm speaking to what's on the text line. I'm speaking to where the main focus of people that are frustrated are placing blame, and that's where they're placing it. So the Golden Knights fall 4-3 to the Dallas Stars in overtime. I will say this, over the last five games, Golden Knights 2-1-2. So points in four of the last five games. I know it's another loss, but it does, at least to me, feel like this team is getting closer to turning this thing around. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls. That's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-3 the final. The Dallas Stars defeat the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime. Vegas 31-15-5, 67 points. Next in action Thursday, 7 o'clock against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Just five games remain for the Vegas Golden Knights before the break for the Four Nations faceoff. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340. We're getting a ton of interaction on the text line. A lot of it on social media, but I urge you, pick up the phone and dial the number and let's talk. If you look at this game, to me, turning point, obviously, Wyatt Johnston scores the shorthanded goal. Vegas goes up 3-1, Pavel Dorofeev, power play goal. And it feels like all the momentum is on the Golden Knights side. And then Dallas, they're able to stop the bleeding, so to speak, with that shorty. And they just continued to push the pace at that point. Now, I agree with Bruce's assessment. I don't think that Dallas completely overwhelmed the Golden Knights. I don't think that they completely took over the game. But I do think that Dallas was able to, down the stretch, make more plays than the Golden Knights did. And that's why they won the game. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Again, I'd like to hear from you, whatever your opinion is tonight. But don't lose sight of the fact that the Golden Knights are 2-1-2 in their last five games. I know that's not the standard, but it is movement in the right direction. 702-876-1340, let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, there's a lot of people that are in the passenger seat headed home right now. Please take a time, take a moment, and just dial 876-1340 because it's worthwhile. I can tell you that. For anybody who's enough of a troll to criticize Aiden Hill's effort on that last goal, you know, it happened just a week ago. If you have such a short memory, you deserve what you got there. A week ago, remember the Jack Eichel goal that didn't go in? It's the same thing, only his didn't go in. Mm-hmm. This one did. Mm-hmm. And Jack won't miss another goal like that the rest of his career. So that happens. That's part of the game, for crying out loud. You know, it just makes my blood boil when you have to report that there's such idiocy out there and among some people. But nonetheless, Pete DeBoer, without question, and I'm grateful that we had him for a short time, is maybe the best coach never to win a Stanley Cup. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, he's right up there, right? Like, Pete's a good coach. Pete has always been a good coach, and he's been very close. He's been right there a couple of times. It just hasn't worked out for him.
I think he's got all the tools to be there this year. I don't want him to be because I want us to be, but still, he really does have a team that could go all the way. Also, you've explained the Stone penalty very well, and I think it was possibly the worst thing that's happened to Mark Stone. For about 15 seconds, he was morose. I know he felt terrible. And then he looked at his tablet, and I think he feels better now, don't you?
I mean, I think that he's, you know, again, I don't think that there's a – I don't think that there's a play Mark Stone ever makes that he's looking to do any harm to his opponent ever. I think that it's pretty clear if you watch the replay, Roope Hintz gets his stick into Mark Stone's skate, Stone goes down and he falls into Haskin, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, maybe there's relief that, you know, things kind of happened the way that Mark remembered or thought that they did on the ice. But yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate play, and certainly I don't think, you know, anybody wants to see what happened to Miro Haskinen happen to Miro Haskinen.
No, we pray that he is back ready to play again this week. So let's hope for the best. Just one more thing. You presented the record on the last five, 2-1-2. And I think it's just good enough, and that'll carry us through a tough spot. Just figure this. So if we get 5 points out of this homestand, I'll take that. I can't imagine anybody would not take that.
Yeah, I mean, against, you know, the quality of opponents, and thanks, Mike, for the call. Pick up a win over Florida. You get a point here out of Dallas, though. I think you can look at it with a 3-1 lead in the second period. Momentum on your side. It's a kind of a point lost more than anything else. But again, Dallas is a very good team. Yeah, I mean, if you're able to come back on Thursday and beat Columbus and take five out of the 6 points, like, you're right. You'll take that, especially with how things have kind of transpired through the month of January for the Golden Knights. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So first off, really hope Haskinen is okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people on social media saying that, like, it was a dirty play by Stone, and I think a lot of it is coming from people watching the slow motion replays of it, because in slow motion, it looks much different than when you watch it, like, full speed. Like, it's fractions of a second that he gets tripped, he falls in, like, trying to go for the puck. Like, it's an unfortunate play. Again, just kind of hoping the best for Haskinen. There were two players that I kind of wanted to mention that did particularly well in this game for I don't want to say, like, for who they are, but Jonas Rönnberg had a lot of impact on the penalty kill today. Heard his name several times, had at least the one really good shorthanded chance, and made some great plays to kill off all the penalties. And then the new guy, I don't want to say his name wrong, Lavoie, was pretty involved in the game tonight as well.
Yeah, I liked Raphael Lavoie for the majority of the game. I mean, you know, Bruce kind of summed it up. He was on the ice for the first goal against that Dallas scored. It was kind of an unfortunate in the right place, but just a little slow kind of closing that play off. But after that, I thought he was great. In on the forecheck, physical, didn't shy away from the physicality down low, and did create some turnovers, did create some chances down low in the offensive zone. And if that's what you're going to get from Lavoie, by all means, run it back again on Thursday against the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and he is the one that, like, we got off waivers from the Oilers, right? Yeah. Or am I confusing it?
No, you're correct. Yeah. Yep.
So, you know what? All of that fiasco when that happened, looks like it was worth it for today, and hopefully he continues to play like that. And when we need him up with the night, he keeps being useful.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Stephanie. Thanks so much. Good on you. 702-876-1340. We have lines open right now. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Peter. Hey, Peter, how you doing? Oh, I'm sorry about that. Let's go to Rita. Rita first. How you doing?
Peter.
No,
I'm so insulted.
I got the order wrong, Rita. It's all my fault. I am so sorry.
You really shouldn't do this. I'm already in the mood and ready for a tangent.
Oh, boy. I went and did it.
Okay. Only a couple of teams can get me riled up online that I actually start responding back with better takes than them, by the way. Mine are pretty good, I gotta say. But the Stars fan base online are the stupidest people on this earth. If I see one more person calling for Stone to be suspended, I swear to God, I'm going to find them and smack the crap right out of them. Literally have Victory Plus. Listen, when your integrity is so bad that you are so far below ESPN, you can't even see the bar. Sitting there, doesn't even look at the replay. At least ESPN played the replay and said what really happened. This jerk saying Stone did a dirty play, he needs to go back. They got to quit going to Boulevard Mall and pick up their analysts because this is a crap. I've never seen such you, any of them come near me and say that crap about Stone. They're going to be singing real high soprano because I don't get that pissed. Only them and Edmonton. And I thought nobody could get as bad as Edmonton. I was wrong. Stars has given them a hell of a run for their money. And we're going to kick ass next game because I don't think none of us are too damned happy with the way. And leave Aiden alone. For God's sake, crap happens. You miss it. That's how goals happen. Somebody misses it. We're going to just move on. Somebody was going to hit the net. It wasn't us. Have a good night, Ryan.
All right. Thanks, Rita. I appreciate it. Always a fantastic call when you call in. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Okay, let's go to Peter now. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm here. I don't have anything deep to say other than, you know, tonight was a great hockey team between two really good teams. And I swear I think we played a way better game than they did. They're still a fine team. There was times in our first period especially and second period when we were making passes and connecting. Mm-hmm. It was like breathtaking. Just crisp, you know, sharp angles across the ice that, you know, you didn't even see the guys see them down there. And they were just connecting really good. And, yeah, when you lose a game like that, you know, I get how people feel, but, you know, not always the better team wins. It was a very, very close game, and I'm optimistic, and, you know, we just lost. That's just how it is. We got a point anyway. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it, period, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you, Peter. Thanks for the call. You know, to your point, it's good. Two good teams. You know, every game between Dallas and Vegas this season, it's been a one-goal game. Every single one. It was 4-3 on Friday. It was 4-3 tonight. And Vegas beat Dallas earlier this season 3-2. So the margins between the Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars are razor thin, top to bottom. So, you know, from that perspective, yeah, it's just two good teams playing a really good hockey game. That's what we got tonight between the Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. And if this game completely got away from Vegas in the second period, or if, you know, you were looking at a blowout, it'd be a different story. But it comes down to one play. And that's been indicative of the Golden Knights really throughout the month of January, right? There have been games where it's one play. And, you know, earlier on in January, the Golden Knights were not making that play and they weren't getting points. At least recently now, they're getting points out of these games. Again, not the standard, but you're going to take it as you try to work yourself out of the adversity that the Golden Knights are going through right now. 702-876-1340, that's the number. We have lines open. I want to hear from you tonight. Obviously, it's a tough loss for the Golden Knights, but if you want to talk about anything from the game, Raphael Lavoie, what you thought of him, Jonas Romberg, what you thought of his play and what you've seen out of Romberg for the last couple of games,
I want to hear from you. So we've got lines open right now. Dial up the phone, 702-876-1340. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-3 the final. The Dallas Stars complete the comeback and beat the Golden Knights in overtime. Wyatt Johnston, natural hat trick to end the game. Next in action Thursday, 7 o'clock against the Columbus Blue Jackets. 702-876-1340 is the number. If you'd like to join us here, we have lines open. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. That's the deal. That's the story. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stefan. Hey, Stefan, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan, I'm doing pretty good. So let me start by saying my buddy from work and I went to the game tonight, and I don't know if this you saw this on the TV or not, but that Rafi Lavoie was all over the place tonight. Yeah. He was getting hit. He was hitting people. He was fast. I mean, he was knocking on the door for a goal. I could feel it, like, and it just didn't quite happen. So I don't know if you saw that. He was awesome, I thought.
Yeah, I thought he was strong. You know, again, there's a size element to him. He can be a physical player. He's not afraid to mix it up. Like, you know, he's dropped the gloves in the past in the American Hockey League. Like, he's kind of that type of player, that mold of player. Great shot. Can really rip a one-timer. You didn't necessarily get to see that in today's game, but I thought his ability to get in on the forecheck, create separation, utilize his body, good positioning. I thought he was good in the walls in his own zone as well. Yeah, I'm with you. I thought it was a strong debut for Lavoie for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep, 100%. And then the last thing I'd like to say is that, you know, I do follow the Stars quite a bit because they're one of our nemesis. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is, in general, this year, we've been pretty good holding the lead, right?
Yeah.
But with Dallas, they're not a very good team at coming back. So that was a little concerning to me, the fact that they were able to come back on us, especially being down 3-1, you know?
Yeah, I think that there were, you know, a couple of circumstances at play. You know, obviously, Wyatt Johnston, the shorthanded goal, I think that gives you a little bit of juice, right? But then I really think the Haskinen thing gave them another level. It gave them a jump. It gave them a boost. And, you know, it's you never want to see a teammate go down at all in a game. But when that happens, you kind of find another gear, so to speak. And I think that that really did propel Dallas late in the third period. And I think that, you know, there are times where you see a player go down, you want to go out, you want to win the game for him, and that's what happened with Dallas.
Yeah, sometimes emotions can take you there, take you home, so... Yeah, but overall, it was a really exciting game. I mean, just like the one in Dallas a couple nights ago. I mean, both games are very exciting, so that was cool. So.
Yep, thanks for the call, Stefan. I appreciate it. Please feel free to call in future games as well. 702-876-1340 is the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to say that Tomas Hertl has been playing really good lately. This is the best I've ever seen him play. You know, I remember watching him in the Sharks, and we didn't like him when he's on the Sharks. But he's been really good with Vegas. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, I was a little nervous just because he didn't really look like himself. He didn't really have that extra gear. But we've really seen it this year, and especially this calendar year. Tomas Hertl has been one of the best players on the Knights, and we love him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Dan. He's got a 10-game point streak now for the Golden Knights, which is, you know, no small feat by any stretch. But, you know, beyond the points, I think that he's driving offense. He looks way more comfortable in terms of, you know, where he needs to be on the ice. I think he looks faster. He certainly seems to have a little bit more confidence and comfort in kind of his body and in what he's doing and where he's at with the Golden Knights. So I think you're just seeing a player that's confident and comfortable, and, you know, it takes a little while to get there in a new situation, but Hertl is certainly looking every bit like the player the Golden Knights were hoping he would be when Kelly McCrimmon made the trade. All right, good stuff there, Dan. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340 is the number if you'd like to join us on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-3 the final. The Dallas Stars defeat the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime. Going back out of the phone lines, we bring in Seth. Hey, Seth, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good.
I was actually at the game in Dallas and at the one here tonight. You know, two very, very tough games. I thought we played better tonight, but, you know, Ottinger just made that save last week, and, you know, he played just a smidge better tonight. But I thought about a potential trade target. I don't know if it's been talked about at all, but I wanted to get your thoughts on trading for Marchand. He's a winger. He's a UFA. He's experienced. He's tough and gritty. I just want to know, like, one, what it would take to get him, and two, if you think he'd be a good fit.
Yeah, that's an interesting call, Seth, and thanks for it. I appreciate it. I don't know how available Brad Marchand is or would be. The Boston Bruins right now, they're in a playoff spot, they're in a wild card spot. I don't get the sense that they view their season as a season that's lost. And you know, if you're a team that's kind of in that spot, wild card or flirting with third in your division, You certainly don't want to trade away your captain and one of your better players, especially when you're not as deep as you used to be. So I like the player. I'm a big Brad Marchand guy. He's exactly the type of guy that you want in a postseason series because he can agitate, he can disturb things for sure. But I don't even want to throw out anything hypothetical. Number one in kind of, because of, I don't like to speculate on players' futures with this organization as a stopping point. But beyond that, I just don't know how feasible or probable it is that Brad Marchand's going to be available. So I know I didn't really answer your question there, but I just don't get the sense that he's an option on the table this far out yet from the trade deadline. But good call, good question. Thanks for bringing it to the show. Take a break, wrap it up next on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the Extended Postgame Show. Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-3 the final. The Dallas Stars defeat the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime. Vegas 31-15-5, 67 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 7 o'clock here against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And it was a good game, an entertaining game, and the Golden Knights come up one play short in overtime. That's the story. It turns, of course, on the Dallas Stars shorthanded goal. Wyatt Johnston, a natural hat trick. But for the Golden Knights, again, just one play short. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio for keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers and our texters. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Thursday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.